So one of the things that I expect we all enjoy about the Christmas season is the spirit of generosity that people have. And this shows up almost everywhere. Just this week, my daughter had their year-end banquet for their volleyball club team. And there's all sorts of teams who are part of this club. There was probably, 200 people there. And they encouraged all the families, all the parents, all the players to bring in non-perishable food items for a food bank in Moncton. Or just a week and a half ago, the school organized a Fill the Bus campaign where food donations were brought in to be given to SPOT. Or it's this time of year when we see the Salvation Army kind of red kettle pots out collecting money so they can provide food and shelter and other programs to support those in need. In general, charities and nonprofits receive far more money in the month of December compared to any other month of the year. According to Canada Helps, which is an online giving platform where you can give to basically every single charity in the entire country if you would like, they say that 30% of all giving to charities happens during the month of December. If you're a sports fan, you know that the NFL celebrates their players' generosity throughout December quite often, highlighting turkey dinners for the poor that their athletes put on in their cities or generous donations for the marginalized in their cities. Still more, during the holidays, volunteerism increases by 50% in Canada. There's a spirit of generosity during Christmas that is unparalleled compared to any other time of year. It's one of the things that makes Christmas so great. However, all of this kind of plays into the annual letdown that follows the Christmas season. And we've spoken of this in recent weeks. People tend to struggle with their mental wellness far more immediately following Christmas. And there's a lot that plays into it, but this is definitely one of the reasons the generosity that is exhibited during this season is largely temporary. It's like we have this brief moment of what life could be like when everyone is generous, when we all care for everybody, the lowest of the low to the highest of the high, and then it's followed by what life is actually like, where people really aren't that generous and they care very little for their neighbor. And the darkest parts of us begin to wonder, maybe the generosity that we see during the Christmas season, well, isn't generosity at all. Maybe it's selfishness masked as generosity. Maybe the volunteering that was done, it was done not because we actually cared about the people we were serving, but because it actually makes me feel good inside. Maybe the food items we donated was more an attempt, if there is a God out there, to get in his good books, right? To balance out the scales of the bad things that we did over the past year. Maybe the money donations that we gave had little to do with our concern for the poor and marginalized. We just know the benefit that we're going to receive a little later, come tax time. All right, considering what happens after Christmas, it can't help but cause us to wonder a little bit, was any of the generosity that was exhibited during the season genuine? Right? This definitely plays a part in the annual letdown that follows Christmas. How amazing would it be if this generosity and concern for our neighbor that we see during the Christmas season lasted the whole year through? Still more, how amazing would it be if this generosity not only lasted all the time, but at every instance was truly genuine, full of care and compassion for the other? Is it even possible for this to happen? Can individuals, a community, a country, a world come to be truly generous, such that we do look out for and provide for our neighbor, the lowest of the low to the highest of the high in our society? And I do think it is possible. When Jesus walked on this earth, he made some incredible claims. We've already spoken of a couple of them during this Advent season, right? I am the resurrection and the life, and I am the bread of life. We talked about those claims. Well, there's another claim that Jesus makes that I think is very relevant to this conversation that we're having. In John 10, 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And this shepherd metaphor, you know, even without diving into all the different uses of it in our scriptures, it's simple and straightforward enough. It speaks of guidance, protection, safety, wisdom, care, compassion, sacrifice. A good shepherd provides all this for his sheep. Jesus provides all this. And when you dive into the Christian message that's revealed in God's word, you begin to realize how Jesus is the good shepherd. For starters, he lived among us and taught us how to live, right? While he was here, he provided all sorts of instruction about life and living that's good, that's reliable and true and dependable. It's guidance. It'll actually protect us and lead us to safety. It'll lead us to green pastures, to use the imagery that David does in Psalm 23 when he speaks of the Lord being his shepherd. But more than just providing good and wise instruction, Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, he enables us to enter a relationship with God, right? Where God's Spirit dwells in us. If you remember from Ephesians 1, right? In the fall, we went through Ephesians. If you remember from Ephesians 1, God will grant us his Spirit to dwell within us. And his Spirit will, building on everything that Christ taught, will continue to guide us into right living. In John 16, 13, it says, God's Spirit will guide us into all truth. But it's more than simply giving guidance about what we should and shouldn't do. God's Spirit will actually begin to transform us from the inside out. He'll get at our hearts. He'll begin to shape our character. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it's the fruit of the Spirit passage. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are interior qualities, heart issues that flow from within us. God's Spirit will change us so that we become the men and women that we were intended to be. So if we're talking about generosity and the concern for our neighbor that we see in the Christmas season, if we're talking about whether this generosity and concern is genuine or not, if we're talking about our wish that this generosity and concern would last all year, then we're talking about interior changes to people's hearts. We're talking about what's going on inside them. This is the work of God's Spirit. It's the work of the Good Shepherd and what he affords us. And all this begs the question, is God, is Jesus about being generous? Is he about having concern for our neighbor? Would he actually shepherd us in this direction? And the obvious answer here is yes, he would. Yes, he does. And we could turn to 100 different passages and biblical stories to highlight this truth, but it's Christmas, so we'll stick to the Christmas story to highlight it. The generosity of God is on full display in the Christmas story. He sends his son into the world to offer salvation to humanity. And I know we, like, that can roll off our tongues so easy as Christians. Like, we say this all the time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Like, it's just constant. Without even thinking, we hardly grasp the significance of it. And to do so, I think, you know, we can make it somewhat personal. Let's say it's your only son or your only daughter that you are sending off to university. Parents often have a hard time with this. It can be painful, experiencing the absence of your child that you've, you know, done life with for 20 years. I don't think we should view God sending his son into the world that much differently. Except in his case, God is fully aware of the suffering and hardship that Jesus will endure to accomplish the task at hand. If we knew that our child heading off to university would endure great suffering and pain because of it, we would do whatever we could to stop that. Knowing that this sacrifice and pain was necessary to offer salvation to humanity, God sends his son into the world. And we might not ever fully understand the dynamics of the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But I think it's safe to say that it was very, very difficult when Jesus was on the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right? Such words in the parent-child relationship would be nearly impossible to bear. And all this from God the Father, the Son, the Spirit, all of it was for our benefit. Right? It's a level of generosity offered to the human race that is unparalleled, and it will remain unparalleled forever. And this generosity is not limited to certain people, which again, God makes clear in the Christmas story. Mary and Joseph receive this news from God. They're invited to be participants in God's grand story of redemption. And you could say that Mary and Joseph are, you know, the typical, average, everyday people in the Roman Empire. They're just trying to make ends meet. There's nothing uniquely special about them, and God's generosity extends to them. You could look at the Magi, you could look at King Herod. Both receive this news from God. Both are invited to participate in God's story of redemption. Well, they are wealthy people. They are educated. The world of their day would have revolved around people like them. You know, even to Herod, God extends his generosity. And, you know, God knew that Herod would reject the news, that he would be hostile to it. You could look at the shepherds. They receive this news from God. They're invited to participate in God's story of redemption. And in Jesus' day, shepherds were poor. They were the outcasts of society, the marginalized. And God's generosity extends to them. In fact, the display and the invite that the shepherds get is spectacular. It's far more impressive than any of the invites that the other folks in the Christmas story receive. God's generosity is immense, and it extends to everyone, even the people we would least expect. And so for those who recognize Jesus as the good shepherd, those who allow Jesus to shepherd them, I guarantee that he'll begin to transform us into people who are generous, people who do genuinely care for their fellow man, a generosity and care that lasts the whole year through. And the truth of this is seen everywhere around us. Followers of Jesus Christ are the ones in our society who are overwhelmingly more generous and who are overwhelmingly more apt to care for the broken. In a fascinating article titled "Less God, Less Giving," which relied on research done by the Pew Research Center, demonstrated that people of faith in Jesus Christ, in particular, those who regularly attend worship services, are far, far more generous with their time and their money compared to any other people group in society. They volunteer more often. They are more apt to foster children and adopt children. They are responsible for creating and sustaining more nonprofit organizations and charities that seek to help the poor and marginalized. They give more money to charities and nonprofits, even if the charity or nonprofit is not faith-based. And the numbers are significant. For those who attend worship services twice a month, they give on average $2,935 a year to charitable organizations, while those who are not affiliated with faith give $704 to charitable organizations. Still more, in another article put forward by the Canadian Council of Christian Charities, it reveals that 75% of all donations to religious charities and more than 20% of all donations to non-religious charities are accounted for by 20% of Canada's population. And it is the 20% who maintain that they are seriously committed to their faith. It's fascinating that in the first article that I mentioned, the Less God, Less Giving article, at the beginning of it, it highlighted a number of surveys that revealed that a lot of people in our society don't think that religious affiliation plays a role in one's generosity. One survey revealed that 59% of people think that churches contribute nothing or very little to solving social issues of the day, like homelessness or disaster relief or issues of hunger. Another survey revealed that 57% of people believe that charitable giving to things like disaster relief or feeding the hungry and homelessness would happen at the exact same level, regardless of whether people had any religious affiliation or not. How desperately wrong could they be? Those who are committed to faith in Jesus Christ, which to help define this, they spoke of those who attend worship services at least twice a month, are four times more likely to give to those who are in need, and they actually give more than four times as much every year compared to those who are not concerned about faith. The numbers in this area, you can look at article after article after article, they are staggering on this front. Those who follow the lead of the Good Shepherd are more generous, and they have greater concern for the poor and marginalized in our society compared to anybody else. And I don't say this with a sense of arrogance or a sense of, you know, we're better than. I say this to highlight the difference that the Good Shepherd brings about in one's life and heart. He transforms people. And this has major implications for our discussion today. At the beginning, we wondered aloud how great the world would be if the generosity and care for our neighbor that we see in the Christmas season would continue throughout the entire year. If this is ever to become reality, then it will be because the Good Shepherd has been transforming more and more people to be generous and to genuinely care for their neighbor. It's the only way that this is going to happen. And this leaves us with some very pointed questions. First, have you ever committed yourself to the Good Shepherd's lead? Have you ever made a decision to be guided by Jesus Christ, His instruction, His way? I'm 100% confident that if you do, that He, as He has with so many other people, will begin to transform who we are from the inside. And this transformation, it involves a lot, but considering our conversation today, it will involve becoming a more generous person. It'll involve becoming an individual who genuinely cares for those around us, for our entire world. Secondly, for those who've already committed themselves to the Good Shepherd's lead, right? Those who already know that Jesus has begun to change who they are on the inside, right? How can we become more devoted to His lead, right? The change that He brings about in us is nothing but good. So are there areas of our lives that we haven't, you know, submitted to Him? Maybe it's offering forgiveness to bring reconciliation to a strained relationship. Maybe it's in this area of giving. Maybe we've been hesitant to give generously, even though we know that this is what God's leading has been in our life. Whatever the case, we should be careful to hear and to respond to the Shepherd's leading. And lastly, if we have a desire for this world to be a better place, right? If we have a desire that more people would become generous and caring, and if we know that this kind of transformation can only happen under the Good Shepherd's lead, then we have work to do, right? In making this news known that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. That He can and He will guide people if they're willing into a life that's good and better than what they've been experiencing thus far. Right? We need to take seriously the effort of making the good news of Jesus Christ known in the world. We all love the Christmas season. And this is partly due to the generosity and care that people exhibit in this time. Well, Jesus Christ is the one who can lead us into this kind of time permanently. And so we need to be mindful ourselves of the Good Shepherd's lead, and we need to encourage others to let Him shepherd them as well. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. We thank You that He will shepherd us. And in this shepherding, it's a transformation of our hearts, transformation of who we are from the inside out, that through Christ, we might become more generous. We might have much greater concern for those around us than we ever have before. Heavenly Father, may that certainly be the case with Your church family here in Petacodiac. May we be a people who are generous, who are always concerned for those around us and what's going on in their lives. And Heavenly Father, may we be a church who, well, makes this news known of Your Son Jesus and the difference that He can make in our lives, in this world. Heavenly Father, I just ask that You would be at work amongst us, transforming us into Your sons and daughters, into the men and women that You designed us to be. We ask these things in Your most holy name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand with me and with the worship team as we sing together, "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus."